So it's a great joy to be with you here. I was here 11 years up in Pittsburgh. I used to go, at the point of this, I would say, you'll hear from my accent, I'm not from around these parts. I was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I can't say that now, I'm back in Oxford. A lot of people have the same strange British accent over there. But it's a great joy for me to be here and to be part of what's going on in this great city. Let's have a prayer as we open God's word together. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that you are a God who delights to speak to us. We do pray, Lord, that you would now open our ears to hear what you have to say. Open our minds to understand it and our hearts to receive your call. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The television program I remember watching many years ago, one of those programs made up of short video clips of something that had gone embarrassingly wrong. And this particular video clip involved a young woman with a guitar. And I think it was probably filmed at a talent show of some kind. She came onto the stage with her guitar and she sat down and she played her song. And everything seemed to be going very well until she got to the end and realized that actually something had gone horribly wrong when she heard the applause behind her. In her nervousness, as she got onto the stage and sat down with her guitar, she sat down with her back to the audience. And she got the whole way through the song before she realized her mistake. She must have thought during the song, this doesn't look quite right. I can't see an audience out there. And perhaps she even heard slight voices behind her. But somehow she got to the end of that song before she realized her mistake. And then she shuffled off rather quickly, obviously embarrassed by what she had just done. And that video clip haunted me for weeks afterwards, and I couldn't think why it was. And then it dawned on me, it's a parable for human beings in our daily lives all the time. We have this very strange way of living with our back to the audience, because the audience is in fact God. God is the one who created us. He's the one who's given us every good gift we've got, every meal we've ever eaten, every drink we've ever drunk, every breath we've ever breathed. He gave every one of these gifts to us because he loves us and he wants us to live with him and for him. And yet it is a strange disposition of the human heart that we live with our back to God. And he's constantly calling us back. And this gospel reading today says it so plainly. This is called to repent. That's the word. If you're living with your back to God, doing your own thing, the call is to turn round and do the thing that God's given you to do with him and for his glory. He's smiling, pleased with us. He wants us to live with him. He doesn't want us living with our back to him, caught up in the deeds of darkness, the things that we think will make us happy, but they fail to do so. It's a call to turn round and live a whole new life. So that's really the focus of what I want us to think about from Mark's gospel. There it was. Pete read it a moment or two ago. Thank you very much, Pete, for the invitation to be with you here today. John had been arrested. Jesus came to Lake Galilee, a lake so big it's often described as a sea. And he is proclaiming the gospel of God, good news about God. That's a great shock to a lot of people. People think he's a killjoy. And God tells you, do all these things because they're so boring. Drain the life out of you. Don't do all these things. It'd be far too much fun and we can't have you enjoying yourself. That's what people think. And it's just completely wrong. God is the most joyful being in existence. And he wants us to have joy too. Don't believe the lies about God. He's come with good news. And what is Jesus is preaching? This is the one sentence summary. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's what Jesus was doing. He's going around village by village around Lake Galilee, preaching to people, and that was his message. The time is fulfilled. Hundreds, thousands of years have gone by, waiting for this moment. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the great figures of the Old Testament, were looking forward, at least darkly, to this great moment. All the great prophets like Moses and Elijah and Elisha, all the way through to John the Baptist, they were looking forward to this moment when God would come back to planet Earth and reconnect us with himself and help us to realize that we were created for a high calling, to be his children here on Earth, to take care of this planet he entrusted us to rule over it on his behalf. It's a huge calling. And all these generations had gone by preparing for this moment when Jesus would come and reclaim his throne, make himself known as the one who is the true God, who loves us, who is for us, who is here to bring justice and peace. That's what's going on. This is the moment. And then he says the kingdom of God is at hand. Perhaps a slightly strange phrase, but it means the king is back. The kingdom of God, the kingly rule of God. The one through whom and for whom everything was made. The one who actually understands us better than we understand ourselves and wants things to be better for us than we can possibly ask or imagine, to use another Bible text. He's come back as the beginning of sorting out the whole mess. The kingdom of God is at hand. Wherever Jesus goes, it's the kingly present. It's the Prince of Peace himself. Huge, significant moment. An unlikely place, Lake Galilee, you wouldn't have guessed it, for a royal visitation from God himself. But God made everybody, even in the lesser known villages around Lake Galilee, and he's come to call them back. Very striking moment. And what's the message? Repent and believe in the gospel. So this is language, repent. The Greek word there simply means turn round. Don't live in the darkness using the gifts that you've got for your own, if you like, occupation, maybe not quite aware that God's there or not perhaps doing it for God. And turn around. Hear the call to turn around and live your life with God and for God. It's utterly transformative. It's not get your act together. God's coming. Sort yourself out. Stop being naughty. Just be good. It's not Santa Claus, you know. It's not St. Nicholas. It's the God of the universe who's come to help us to really be the people we've been created to be. He says, stop living with your back to me. Come, be with me, be for me. Live the life that God's called you to live. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe that God is with you and for you and not absent and not against you. It's hard to do sometimes, especially when life is really tough. But that's the truth. You know, the sun is still shining, even when there are some clouds up there. Those of us who live in England need to keep reminding ourselves about that. That's the truth. The sun is always shining, whether you can see it or not. And believing in the sunshine, even in the darkness of the night, is a simple act of faith. It's simply how it is. Not wishful thinking, accurate thinking. That's how it actually is. So the call is not sort yourself out and God's going to start loving you, but discover he loves you already, and what he's beginning to do here will lead to his death and resurrection, by which he's going to take the whole mess that we've been creating and take it down to death where it leads and rise to a new and everlasting life so we can be part of that new and everlasting life. That's the project he's calling us to. So it's not sort yourself out, it's turn round and let him sort you out. Much more promising news. That's why it's good news. If it's okay, I want you folks to go home and try much harder next week. Yeah. It wouldn't be good news. By all means, give it a go. I mean, I'm sure some of you have been Christians for a long time. Perhaps as a teenager like me, you're trying to think, I'm going to really be good this week. I'm not going to get cross with my little brother, even if he does annoy me, which he might. Not anymore. Lovely young man. Or I'm not going to do naughty things at school. You know, we try to sort ourselves out. And again, if you have succeeded in that operation, will you talk to me after the service? I've never met anybody else who can do it. Well, there's people, I used to get a lot of things when I was vicar of a church in London. People would often explain why they don't go to church. And one of my favourite was, I don't go to church, but I do live by the Ten Commandments. And I didn't know what to say at the time. But I thought afterwards, can I come and stay at your house for tea sometime? I've never met anyone else who could. Love the Lord your God, have no other God, no idols. Never use the name of the Lord in vain. You respect this, you respect your parents, honor the Sabbath day. All those other things that Jesus spells out in the Sermon on the Mount. I want to come and stay at your house sometime. We can't do it. I say, if Jesus was going around saying, okay, God's coming, sort yourselves out, it would be bad news and not good. It's good news because he knows that we can't sort ourselves out, but he can do it for us. But we have to turn around and let him do it. If we're so committed to doing the thing in the darkness over here, and frankly, the deeds of darkness, they're awfully attractive. Well, they wouldn't be a problem for us. If no one ever got caught up with the dark side of money or sex or power, we wouldn't need his help. But we're all caught up in it in different ways, and only God can fix us. And the good news is that's what he's come to do. He's come to sort us out. And what we have to do is believe that's the truth. That he's actually for us and has come to sort things out. And let him get to work. Or carry on the project if you've already let him start the work. There's a call to repent. But notice also, then he goes on to call people to send, go out into the world and spread this message themselves. Jesus then goes along beside the seaside talking to fishermen. Simon, then called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, and he calls them not just to repent, obviously they must have got that message already. He gives them another message, verse 17, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men and women. So he takes these fishermen, presumably people who were courageous and strong, willing to face down the storms, working often in the night time, that's when the fish come up. They were courageous and they were strong and they were good at timing. Well, they have to take all those gifts and translate them to a whole new job because they weren't going to have to go find fish anymore. Their task was to work for Jesus and go find people and help them to come into this place of repentance and believing and being baptized and starting the new life of following Jesus. That's the project. Regular people able to go out and talk to regular people. God puts his message out through people like you and me. He doesn't just beam the message in from a disembodied voice. He uses people like you and me to speak to people like you and me. That's the project. Now, you may think it's a risky project, and I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm in the clergy training business. And God takes ordinary, everyday people. Every one of them is a sinner, I can tell you that. And they know it too. But there are people who've met the Lord, and who knows that they've been called to leave their nets, whatever they were doing before, leave the old job, and get ready for the new job, full time, all day, every day, helping people to repent and believe. And live in this new life, and help others into that role. Now, all of us are called into doing that. Not all of us are called to leave the nets, okay? Those of you asked to keep hold of your nets, keep using your nets. There are jobs for Christian fishermen. Use your work to display God's glory. Trying not to live with your back to God, but your face to God. Live out your vocation as a Christian man, woman, or child. Okay, so this call to leave your nets, it doesn't go to everybody. It's to these people, isn't it? Peter, James, John, Andrew. Okay, so don't all go out and give up the day job, okay? Good news. Your work is part of God's call. Now, some of you may find that God is calling you to give up the day job. Maybe you are being called to go into some overseas mission function or a mission agency in this country where you won't have your regular day job or into ordained ministry. May God call up more from this very congregation to do so. Hear the call. If you think that's the Lord's call, do talk to the clergy here about it. But all of us have a call to follow Jesus and to become fishers of men and women in our own place. In your workplace, you're connected with people in a special way that no one else has. Too many people, not knowing that Jesus has come back and genuinely made all things new as part of a project to transform the universe, So every part of it resounds through his glory all the time. It's a huge, great transformation beyond our wildest imaginings. So we don't have to all give up the nets, give up the day job, but none of us needs to rely on those normal earthly securities as if that's where our deepest security lies. God is our provider. Yes, he uses our regular daily employment to supply what we need, but in the end, he is the provider. So what we also need to know is there's a deeper thing going on here. Don't let your work, your regular income, give you the impression that that's where your confidence should lie. Make sure your confidence lies in Jesus himself. Jobs come and go. Markets rise and fall. But if your security is in Jesus himself, you will not fall with it. So what we see here is firstly this call to repent, to really surrender our lives to Jesus. Not just to simply live in the dark. Let Jesus call us into the higher calling. But it's also a call to get out there and share the good news with others. What does that mean for you? Because I suspect all of us, at some point, if we haven't already done it, need to do this first and foremost shift. Rather than living a life which, frankly, is all about me, although we don't want anyone else to notice that, and to all about Jesus. Someone called it a Copernican revolution. Rather than a world that always revolves around the earth, always revolves around me, to live in a world that always revolves around Jesus. I remember a very notable confirmation sermon when I was a vicar in London, and the basic message of the bishop was this. As he spoke to the confirmation candidates, from now on, I want you to start every day by saying a prayer. Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Incredibly simple, isn't it? But that's fundamentally Christian discipleship. Okay, I've got a diary full of stuff, or I've got an open day, but the first question is, Jesus, how can I serve you today? Who do you want me to speak to? How can I be your man, your woman, in the places that I'm going to be today? Very different way of living the same life. So that's the call on our lives today. And as we come to communion in a moment, I want you to have the chance to respond just in the quietness of your own heart. I want to firstly invite you to repent, to turn away from the life of orientated around myself, my plans, my future, to a life which is centered around Jesus Christ and whatever he's got in store for you, which will be a whole lot more interesting than your own plans, if I may be so bold. He knows what you can do better than you do. So to surrender for the first time or once again, all of us get caught up, even if we follow Jesus for years. The deeds of darkness, they've still got a gravitational pull. We find ourselves like a chair. I had an office chair like this. It used to constantly rotate the wrong way. We don't want to sit on a chair like that. We want to sit on a chair that faces Jesus all the time. Our life lived out under his life and joy and peace. That's the call. So as we come and kneel at the communion rail, to once again surrender our lives to Jesus. That's what we're doing as we do that. We're kneeling down. We're just before the Lord Jesus, asking his grace and strength in our lives. But also to be asking God, what do you want me to do today? What have you got in mind for me for the future? How can I be fishing? How can I be drawing people into the light and joy of your kingdom? What does it mean for me today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, we give you great thanks that you are a God who is with us, a God who is for us, that you know us, Lord, through and through, and you love us all the same. Please make yourself known to each one of us by your Holy Spirit this morning. Set us free from our sin. Give us a fresh confidence in your love and grace towards us. And help us to live all the days of our life in your light and for your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.